The title of this morning's address is The Limits of Our Horizons. And what I've been thinking about is that how we think of life has been linear, starting with the Big Bang, coming up to today, and that we mark it out and measure time. And that, as the other reading said, life isn't like that. It is a circle. And we see only a small arc of that circle. And we need to be careful about what we pronounce to be true about the small arc we see. Throughout the history of religions, every culture has developed some form of religion. Religions try to provide answers for the mysteries of life. They may try to regulate the behavior of its members. They try to answer what is unknown, for example, the origins of life and our destiny when we die. And even though religious leaders might try to deny it, religions evolve. They change because of the passing of time, because of new knowledge about the world, or perhaps in response to the influence of a charismatic leader such as Jesus or the Prophet Muhammad. We tend to forget Jesus never founded a new religion. He developed new thinking about his Jewish faith. And the originator of the Islamic tradition, the Prophet Muhammad, explicitly said that his teaching was the correction of errors that had developed in accounts of God's revelation to Abraham, Moses, and all the other prophets. He said errors had crept into Judaism and Christianity, and Islam is meant to be the correction of those errors. The great Western religious traditions trace their origins to Abraham, and we can, at this distance, trace the developments in them, changes in them, and the splits that occurred in them systems. When Pope Benedict died recently, he was hailed as a great defender of the truth. That's what he dedicated his life to, preserving his version of the truth. Benedict's truth was Catholic teaching. But I don't believe that there is a single identifiable truth that is forever fixed and unchanging. Everything is relative. For example, if I were to take a gun and go outside and kill someone randomly, I would be guilty of murder. But those waters are very easily muddied. If someone is ill and in pain, do I withhold pain relief because it may shorten that person's life? We can take that a step further. Our Western lifestyle, that is the way we are living, is causing the deaths of thousands of people in many parts of the world because of climate chaos. So are we murderers? Truth is depicted in the stained glass window to the front of this church. It is left of centre, vital, but off centre, because there's no ultimate religious truth. Our human story is always going to be a work in progress. We work with what we know now, knowing that that will change in time. Humanity itself is still a work in progress. I think we have to be careful about declaring something is or isn't the truth. A truth I was taught as a child was I was born to know, love, and serve God on earth and be happy with him forever in heaven. That knowing, loving, and serving God meant that I was to follow the rules of a particular Christian denomination. At death, I would be judged, and consigned to reward in heaven or down to hell for punishment. And that is depicted in all sorts of Western art. It doesn't ring true for me any longer. Part of me says that if God is just, he wouldn't impose those sort of rules on people who didn't happen to hear a version of truth. I see all religions as solution to the human curiosity, the longing to understand the world. We humans create our own version of God's. But two great threads flow through all religions, and these threads are the longing for love and an absolute need to feel that there is justice in the world. Two great human longings, and I think children of a very young age have that need for justice. How often do you hear children say, but that's not fair? We need love to flourish. And when we live in love with one another and in harmony with the earth, we experience a sense of being at home, of living out our true nature. We stop all the questions. Life becomes easier. Unfortunately, it's also human nature that we are easily distracted from that better nature. It is spiritual practices or religions that draw us back to living in love. You know, we're like children. Somebody rattles a new toy in front of us, we get distracted from the good living. Which religion is the right religion? Well, the right religion is the religion that works for you, the one that makes you more loving, and the one that fulfills your sense of justice, the one that satisfies your truth now, knowing that that may change over time. The Christian premise that this life is a once-off test with reward of heaven and hell, that was more acceptable when it was the belief that the earth is just 6,027 years old. Now, I come up with that figure of 6,027 years old from a professor of Bishop. He worked in Trinity College, and he worked out the age of the earth by looking at the Bible, by his knowledge of the Bible. So if you were thinking of the earth in terms of being just over 6,000 years old, and that God was the guiding force throughout most of that time, it's easy to accept that. In this version of the human story, God was a continuous present guiding his people through all that time. Now we know that the story is far more immense. We know only a minuscule part of that story. The knowledge of the shortcomings of some religions has made religion almost irrelevant in Western culture. Western culture at this time does not feel the need for God. And I wonder if that is a good or a bad thing. You cannot impose religion on people. But together with that lack of religious belief is a growing sense of alienation and isolation among people. The monotheistic concept of punishment or reward after death fulfills our desire for justice. You know, if people go into their just reward in heaven or to be punished if they're nasty. We need to believe that goodness is ultimately rewarded and that the evildoer is punished. The longing for justice is also provided by the concept of reincarnation, which is part of the Eastern philosophies. Other faith systems and other world systems have this belief. And I am beginning to feel more at home with the idea of reincarnation. When I say that, I'm also aware that I probably have a very simplistic idea of what that involves. Not quite as simple as some people, though. I was told that when Savile Hicks was minister at this church, and Savile Hicks was here between 1910 and 1962, and he preached about reincarnation, and when one of the nearby Christian churches heard of this, they poked fun at that lot down the road who believed that the doorknob would become a person. But, you know, you say no, but maybe in time, but a lot longer time than we envisage. I do believe that death is not the end of the story for humans. The survival of some part of us after death is supported by the laws of physics. One of the laws of physics is that no energy is created in the universe, nor is any energy destroyed. This scientific law confirms that at death, the energy that comprises each one of us is not destroyed. It may be that we may live many, many lives. And as I have said before, if you think that would be wonderful, oh, I die, but I'll be back again, you know, let's go around one more time, as Josh played on the music for us. Remember that the life you have now is one of privilege. Most of the world do not enjoy the privileges we enjoy. Maybe next time it mightn't be so comfortable for us. This universe is much greater than ourselves. We perceive a fraction of the whole, and we understand less. The lack of understanding means that we cannot set the truth in stone. We must keep aware of how ignorant we are. There's an old saying in Ireland that I remember learning at school, Imean Nadina Akfana Naknik. And that translates as, people go, but the hills remain. That is only true in the short term. Over time, mountains grow, and then mountains arose. And we don't realize that. We think the mountains stay because of the limits of our vision. I recently watched a program about the geology of Ireland, which made me realize how we think in terms of time being linear, when in fact everything is a circle. We think it all started with the Big Bang, and everything was very woolly for a long time, and now we have discovered everything, and we can measure time in hundredths of a second, and that's all our imagination. Life is not a line, it is a circle. And somehow the Native American Indians intuited that. When I do a funeral service, I often talk about, I don't tell people they're going to heaven or hell, but I do say that I thought life continued. And I quote Thich Nhat Hanh, who said that, look at the leaves on the trees. In the summer, they're lovely and soft and green. In the autumn, they become brittle, they fall from the trees. We say they're dead. However, within a few years, those leaves are broken down by the wind and the frost and the insects and worms, and they are the nourishment the tree uses to produce new leaves. It is a circle. But that's taking a very short view of what actually happens. It is true, but it's a very short view. There is a wider one that is much, much longer. If you Google, where is Ireland, you will be told that it is 53.7798 degrees north north of the equator and 7.3055 degrees west of London, and that the Atlantic is to the west of us. Ireland was born south of the equator. It has moved to where we see it now. It is still moving. The Atlantic Ocean is about 150 million years old. Its life, too, is finite. One day it will die. One of my favorite places in Ireland is the Burren. And the Burren was formed, it's limestone, so it was formed from dead shells, from fish that died many, many millions of years ago. But right now, the rain and the weather is dissolving that limestone. The particles are being brought down into the ground by the rain. They're being washed into the sea. They make their way eventually. But those particles are nourishing shellfish off the west coast of Ireland. It is a great circle. It is greater and more wonderful than our imagination. Remember, we see life with a very limited horizon. So we must be open to question our truths, no matter how holy, how dearly we hold them. But the most important truth we know right now is that the most important thing to do is that we love one another. And if we love one another, the circle of life confirms that eventually that love and care and loving one another will come back to us in time. Amen.